All right, amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here at Verity Baptist Church. I've admired your church from afar for a long time now, and it's a real blessing to be here and meet you folks. And I just got to say, it's a very warm welcome that I received here. Everyone's very friendly. Got a great spirit here, and it's always encouraging to see another church that's involved in the same works that my church is involved in, and that's, you know, going out and soul winning and reaching your community. It's encouraging to go back in that office and see a map and maps that are stacked up and see people that are serious about serving God and going out and reaching their community. So it's just been an encouragement and a blessing to be here. I just thank Pastor Menez for calling me out and having me come out here and preach to you folks, and it's a real privilege for me. And thank Brother Oliver Gonzalez for the hospitality shown me. So I had him out a few weeks ago to Tucson. I feel like he's kind of one-upped me a little bit here on this one. So in his next video, I might have to step it up a bit. But anyway, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look there in verse 1 where the Bible reads, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Now there in verse 2, it says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word as newborn babes. Now there's this concept that we find in Scripture that when a person first comes to Christ, when a person is first saved, and they start out in their Christian life, they are a babe in Christ. And that's something that is indicative of a new believer. That's how we would describe them, is as a babe. And all we mean by that when we call somebody a babe in Christ is that they are one that must mature and grow and develop as a believer. Now, of course, being a babe, you know, we're not talking about they're literally, you know, become an infant again, but it's speaking spiritually, of course, and that a babe is characterized as being new to spiritual truths. That's what the Bible instructs us or tells us, is that when a person is referred to as a babe in Christ, it's because they are new to the faith. They are new to certain spiritual truths that they have to learn and grow into. And this is kind of tied in there in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, "We're being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." So this concept of being born again is something that comes up. So it only stands to reason that if we're going to the Bible is going to use that kind of analogy of a person being born again spiritually, that analogy would continue, that person also has to grow just as a babe would, literally. So it's nothing shameful. You know, it's just the order of things. We all start out there. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's something that has to take place. There's nothing shameful about it. It's just something, it's just the order of things. It's the natural order of things. Now, of course, it's not a condition that we want to remain in. We don't want to remain babes in Christ for the rest of our Christian life. We want to grow. And in fact, the Bible even says that if you are a babe in Christ, you're described as being carnal. I'll read to you from 1 Corinthians 3 where it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So babes are people who are often very carnal. Now, that only makes sense when you first come into Christian life that, you know, you might be a little bit more carnal than the person who's been saved for a few decades. I mean, that should stand to reason. If that person has grown over the time, they've received the preaching, they've been reading the Word of God, they've been implementing the Word of God in their life, that, of course, that person is going to be less carnal than somebody who's just been born again, somebody who's just come into the faith. And again, nothing wrong with that. You know, people come into a church from the outside, they get saved, they start coming to church. They bring a lot of baggage with them a lot of times. I know I did when I first started coming to a church. I had a lot of things I had to work out. I had a lot of things that weren't right, things I had to get right. So it's just a natural order of things, that when a person comes into a church or they first get saved, they're going to be a little carnal. You know, they're going to be babes in Christ. But the thing is, we don't want to remain there. We want to grow out of that. We want to become a mature. Now, what I kind of want to drive in on this morning is the fact that spiritual babes, you know, they cannot digest the meat of the Word of God. You know, we're living in an age today. If you would actually just stay where you are. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You see, babes in Christ, they cannot digest the meatier things of the Word of God. There's truths that we have to kind of learn over time, and not necessarily just deep doctrinal truths, even just principles and standards and things that we have to come to terms with the Word of God and begin to implement in our life. Sometimes that takes time in a person's life. And spiritual babes, they don't start out right out of the gate just doing these things and living that kind of a life. But the danger that we're living in today is that we're living in a day where, if I could kind of use this analogy a little bit, we're living in a day of spiritual steroids. And what I mean specifically by that is YouTube, you know, the social media. And we're living in a day today where people are growing almost at an unnatural rate, spiritually speaking. And I don't know if you can really classify it as a true spiritual growth. I mean, people will get saved, they'll hear about Pastor Anderson or Pastor Menes or one of these other pastors in the movement, and they'll get on YouTube, and they'll just watch hour and after hour after hour of sermons, and they'll get all of this knowledge very suddenly, very quickly. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but the danger is that sometimes they're growing at an unnatural rate. It's as if we were, you know, to not be crude or anything, but to take a baby and actually give it steroids. You know, we would never do that to our own children, right? But it's kind of like that, spiritually speaking. It would be like taking a child, you know, a young infant, giving them steroids and putting them on a weight lifting regimen. You know, they're going in, they're doing their squats and their deadlifts and their bench presses, and they're putting on a massive amount of muscle very quickly. You know, we would never do that to our children. We wouldn't want that to happen. But that's sometimes, I think that's what happens. That's what I've observed over the years, is that some people grow it seems almost unnaturally fast. And, you know, the problem with that is that if we were to have an infant that had all that muscle, that had all that strength, they would just be more harder to handle. You know, they're not necessarily going to use that to benefit others. You know, that can be a very dangerous thing. They don't have the proper coordination, perhaps. You know, we had a really strong baby. You know, if anyone's had a small infant or a child, you know, they have to learn coordination. When they're first born, their arms are flailing all over the place. They're hitting themselves in their face. They're hitting mom. They're hitting dad. They can't even control themselves. Imagine if that child had a great, vast amount of strength. I mean, mom would come home. She'd have two black eyes. The kid's nose bleeding. It's like, what happened here? You know, well, he hasn't learned. He hasn't grown how to use those muscles appropriately. So all that muscle can be dangerous. You know, people growing and acquiring all this knowledge without learning how to use discernment and how to properly grow into that can also be very dangerous, and they can do a lot of harm. And really, there's a lot of areas that we could apply this in, that I've observed this in. But one particular area that I think we could apply in just very quickly is the area, I'm sorry, I didn't expect ice to be in that water, so if you hear me crunching, I apologize. But one area we can observe this in is in the area of soul winning. You know, I'll see people who have watched all of the soul winning demonstrations, and praise God for the soul winning demonstrations. People who have watched all of the hours on soul winning, listen to all the sermons. I encourage people to go listen to the soul winning instructions, and I direct them to the Even Verity's homepage and listen to the seminars that Pastor Jimenez has put on here. Excellent stuff. But I also notice people, they'll do all that, but then they'll get themselves involved in a church that's actually doing soul winning, and they're already ahead of everybody else in their own mind. You know, they'll say, well, I don't need to be a silent partner. I'm ready to do this from day one, right out of the gate. And they don't learn anything. And they're like that jacked up spiritual baby is what they are. They've just gotten a lot of growth. They've taken a lot of information, and they just go out there and they're just like a bull in the china shop at the door. And I've seen this time and time again. And it's just something I think that we need to all be conscious of. You know, and you know, there's probably a lot of people in here that have been here for a long time, people that are very mature in their faith. So maybe not all this is going to apply to you. But, you know, maybe you could use it to kind of help others and to be a little bit more patient with others as they grow. So you're there in Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So what this verse is telling us is that strong meat is good, but notice there, strong meat is appropriate for those who have developed and matured. We don't grow on strong meat. We grow on the milk. You know, we want to take in all the meat right away, but we don't even have, sometimes people, they don't even have the canines. They don't even have the molars to digest this meat. They need to learn to grow on the milk first and grow into and have their senses exercised to the place where they can actually devour that meat and digest it. Strong meat is appropriate for those who have developed and matured. People who can, you know, identify, you know, the gristle from the meat and the bones. They can chew it. They know how much is appropriate. They know when they're full. And they can, it's for the mature believer in Christ. It's somebody who's grown into these things. So the point I'm trying to start in this introduction is that you can learn a lot of doctrine from YouTube. You can learn a lot from listening to the preaching online and things like that. But, and still lack the maturity to know how to use that knowledge. That's really what I'm driving at here in this introduction, is that just because we have attained a lot of knowledge, that doesn't mean we've developed the discernment and the maturity to how to go out and actually use that knowledge for good. You know, if we were to give that, going back to my illustration of a baby on steroids, see that happen, what's that baby going to do? They're just going to throw their toys farther. You know, they're going to make a bigger mess than they would. You know, instead of just taking the couch cushions off, they're going to tear them into shreds. They're going to cause a lot more damage. They're not going to go out and say, boy, I've got all the strength and ability. Let me just go out and, you know, and start moving pianos for a living and contribute something to the household. You know, they're not necessarily going to be contributing something just because you have the knowledge, just because you have the strength. You need to learn how to use that strength. And that's something that comes with maturity. That's something that comes with time. And really, what the way we learn that is through the experience of life. You know, life and experience is the greatest teacher. And really, these things that we grow into as Christians, as we mature and start to use the strong meat, as we have our senses exercised, that comes to us over time. That's something that we gain through life experience. We have all this knowledge, we have all this understanding, we have all this wisdom, but we have to give ourselves time and to live life to actually live out that knowledge and experience and know how to apply it when it's appropriate, when it's not, and to use discretion. So really what we see in Scripture is that strong meat belongs to those who are full age, it says. Now that's a measurement of time. They're a full age. They have matured. So really there is no substitute for time. You know, it takes time to grow into these things. That's why it's important to be in a good, Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist church like you have here. Because this is going to be the place where you can start to learn how to use that strength, how to use the milk of the Word of God, how to use it skillfully, and develop into one who is then able to receive strong meat. So we all start out as babes. We all start out as new believers. God desires that we grow. You know, our leadership desires that we grow. But the danger lies is that when we start to get ahead of ourselves, we get ahead of ourselves and we don't learn the true measure of growth. You see, the Christian life isn't measured by how many hours you spend on YouTube. The Christian life isn't measured by all the difficult passages that you've got an answer for, or how many different heretics you can rebuke at a door somewhere. You know, the true Christian life is measured in how you live your life over a lifetime. You know, I heard it recently. Somebody said to me, hey, you know, I've given my whole life to the ministry. And I said, but you haven't. You know, we have this idea that we're giving our lives, but none of us has really given our lives to the ministry because we're still alive. You know, we'll see if you gave your life to the ministry at the end of your life. We'll see where you finished and not where you started. So the Christian life is something that is measured over a lifetime. It's measured over decades. And we trace our progress along that route. And that's how we determine whether or not we are of full age or still remain babes. And as we trace our progress, we'll look in our lives and we'll start to see milestones in the Christian life. And that's the title of the sermon this morning, Milestones in the Christian Life. See, there's going to be milestones in your Christian life. As you grow and develop as a believer, there's going to be certain things that milestones that we all share for the most part, and that we're going to look back on or look forward to and say, that's a goal I have achieved, or that's a goal I need to achieve. There's certain spiritual milestones that we all have in our Christian life that we have to attain. You know, and these milestones, what they really are just moments in life. They're moments when we have not only learned and understood of spiritual truth, you know, not that we just sat down and heard a sermon and said and understood how it works in the Scripture and saw the truth of it. That's part of it, but it's also when we've applied it to our lives. That's the true milestone. Not just knowing it, but also doing it by implementing it. That's the true milestone. Now, what is a milestone? A milestone is simply, you know, a stone set up beside a road mark beside a road to mark distance and miles to a particular place. So that there used to be when you travel along the road, you'd see a certain milestone, you'd say, well, it's so many more miles to wherever I'm going. Every mile or so, they would have that stone to let you know. We still have that today on our freeway systems. We have those little green rectangular plates that have mile markers on there. You know, if you get pulled over on the side of the road, you got to call emergency services. What's your nearest mile marker? You know, that's those little signs we never pay attention to, right, as we're driving down. But we have those in our Christian life. A milestone is an action or it's an event marking a significant change or stage in development. And I think that's really the more applicable definition this morning, is that it's an action or event marking a significant change or stage in development. And really, this is a concept that's found in Scripture. We see people or the nation of Israel or certain individuals where they come to a certain place in their life, and it's a life-changing moment. It's a milestone in their life. We could think of a few of them. We think of the pile of stones that Jacob made when he was making peace with his father-in-law, Laban. You know, when he finally decided to go back to his homeland to take his family with him, and he kind of snuck out, and Laban came after him, and they kind of had a confrontation. What did? They set up a great pile of stones, and it was a witness between the two of them that they had made peace. We see the stones of Joshua set up when they crossed the River Jordan and came in there. He told them to, every man to go and remove a stone and to set it up where they had crossed over, that it would be a memorial for the generations to come. So we see that there are milestones in Scripture. There are certain events that mark a significant change or development in the life of a nation or an individual. So there are milestones that we will all have also that we could apply to our own lives. And I think, of course, the most significant milestone that any of us have, or must have, in fact, in order to even grow as a Christian, is the milestone of salvation. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, "Therefore saith the Lord God, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation." So that's a milestone that we have to have, the sure stone, the foundation of Christ, that rock that He is. We all have to come to a saving knowledge of Him to even begin to grow as Christians. There's also, perhaps, maybe we could think of the milestone of baptism. You know, baptism is an important milestone in a new believer's life. You know, we ought to be baptized scripturally if we've never been. You know, and for some people, you know, that seems like a real small milestone. You know, those of us that are maybe a little bit more extrovert, we don't have a difficult time with people looking at us or things like that. We're not all that way. Some people are very shy, very introverted, and they have a difficult, having people look at them be baptized is a huge for them to overcome. So that could be a very significant milestone for somebody. But let me tell you, it has to be a milestone that you have in your Christian life. If you're going to be in obedience to the Word of God, you need to be baptized scripturally. We could think about the milestone of church attendance. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here this morning. You're all here. But that is a major milestone. When you start to say, you know what, I'm going to get serious about getting in church. I'm going to start going to church. I know the Bible says that I'm not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that I should be in church with God's people, learning God's Word and growing. And that's a major development in a person's life. That's a major milestone that we all have. I mean, I'm sure we can all remember when we first got serious about going to church. Or, you know, maybe we haven't yet, and maybe we're going to. That's going to be something that you're going to remember. I remember the first time I visited Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, a year after I had gotten saved. They were meeting at a UAW hall, and they had this gravel part, you know, driveway, and it wasn't the most impressive facility. I went in there, and there was all plastic chairs, and it was just a few people, and you know, most of them were well on in age, you know, and there weren't any young people there. And I specifically noticed that there weren't any young ladies there. But I said, well, I'm moving on. You know, I'm going to try and find something better. But you know what? It was the preaching that brought me back. It was the fact that that was the only King James Bible church that I could find. So I went back, you know, a few months later, and I remember when I went in that second time, just a few months later, I said, you know what? Doesn't matter who is here, who isn't here, what the facility's like. This is a milestone in my life that if I'm going to grow and be used of God in any capacity whatsoever, I need to be in church. And that's a major milestone. You know, and I went on to serve in that church for 11 years, and I'm thankful for it and learned many great things. And, you know, what about the milestone of Bible reading? That would be another major milestone that people have to develop into, that need to grow into. You know, it's real easy to just get on YouTube and click play and sit there and let somebody else preach the Bible to you and try to gain knowledge that way. But there's something to be said for getting into your Bible on a daily basis and studying the Word of God for yourself and memorizing the Word of God. That's where the true growth is going to take place. That's where you're really going to develop into a Christian who has the ability to devour the strong meat of the Word of God and understand it. So these are all many milestones that we could point to in our lives that all need to be there. We need to have these milestones in our Christian life if we're going to grow. What about the milestone of soul winning? I mean, that's a big one. You know, if you're in a church like this, that's serious. I mean, what is the work that we're left here to do if it's not soul winning? I mean, what is it? What else is there to do? Why are we here if it's not to preach the gospel to the lost? If you would, turn over to Mark chapter 16. I'm sure it's a passage we're all familiar with, but sometimes I think we as Christians can forget the magnitude of the mission that we've been called to. You know, I thank God for a church that has a big vision. They're not just trying to reach their area code. They're trying to reach their city. They're trying to reach their state. They're trying to reach every city and every place. Every city and every place. That's a big vision. That's a vision we all should have. And imagine if every church had that vision, how much work we could get done. If every independent, fundamental Baptist church that was right on salvation, that had the King James Bible, would get serious about reaching the people around them with the gospel of Christ. Not just in their neighborhood, but their whole city and their whole state. And it can be done. It can be done. Look there in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a clear command. That's not optional. And he says the world. You know, we're supposed to reach everybody we can. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. I mean, that had to be a major milestone in the apostles' life. I mean, they'd seen Jesus do a lot of things, and there's probably a lot of things they could point back to and say, remember when Jesus did this, and remember when he did that. But when he left them with that final great command to go into all the world, he wanted to make sure that they were going to remember it. I mean, he could have just disappeared out of their sight. He could have just disappeared in a puff of smoke, and maybe it wouldn't have been as memorable. It wouldn't have been as big of a milestone to them. But what does he say? He actually ascends up into heaven into a cloud in their very sight. I mean, I think he did that to really drive home and say, look, I don't want you to forget this. I'm going to associate this command with probably one of the most amazing things we could ever behold, to see the Lord ascend into heaven. So that's a really big milestone for them. And, you know, we say, well, that was the apostles. But that same charge is a charge that's been laid upon us. Now, we might not get to see the Lord ascend into heaven, but, you know, if we live long enough, we're going to see him descend. And that significant event in the life of the apostles is not something we're going to experience, but the charge is still the same, to go into all the world. That same charge is laid upon us. The Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, that's a powerful statement, to say that we are the representatives of Christ on earth, that we are going to go out and to beseech the lost on God's behalf, that we beseech as though God did beseech them by us. That's big. That's a really big charge. We might not have experienced something as seeing Christ ascend into heaven in the clouds, as amazing as the sight of that might have been, but I'll tell you what, anybody that's gone out soul winning, even as a silent partner, they probably remember the first time they went. I bet it was a big event when you finally decided, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get with my church and get to the soul winning time and go out and see what this business of soul winning is all about. I remember the first time I ever went out. I remember the first time I ever knocked on the door. I remember the first soul I ever led to Christ. You know, her name was Amber. You know, and that's about really all I can tell you about it. But there was a lot of milestones that it came to soul winning. We could all have those if we would just go. You know, I remember the first time I went out, it was with Pastor Anderson. You know, I just moved into Phoenix. You know, we went out on a Sunday afternoon. The first door I knocked, nobody was home. Well, he was doing the knock, and I was the silent partner. And the second door he knocks, it's the Mormon bishop of that ward. So this was great, you know. And, of course, they do as all Mormons do, very friendly and agreeable. And he brought us into his home, and he brought his whole family out. And he's trying to just show his family how we're just like, you know, this man here, we're all Christians. And pastor's saying, no, we're not Christians. I don't consider you a Christian. You know, you believe people live on another planet called Kolob. And I'll never forget, he had his teenage daughters there. And when pastor mentioned that he doesn't believe that there's other people living on another planet called Kolob, that it just took her aback. You know, and she raises her hand. And pastor says, you know, I think your daughter has a question. She says, go ahead, honey, ask the man anything you'd like. She goes, you don't believe there aren't people living on another planet? And she's just dumbfounded that nobody, that we didn't believe that. And I just remember looking at Pastor Anderson and him going, no, you know, just trying to keep it together because it was a very comical situation. You know, I never would have had that milestone. I never would have had that, you know, humorous story. I would never have had that, you know, event to recall if I had never gone. And so we all need to have that milestone in our life if we're going to fulfill this great commission of going out and going soul winning. And even beyond that, just your first experience time soul winning. You know, if you get in to soul winning on a regular basis, I'm telling you, you're going to have memories and you're going to meet people and there's going to be impressions made on you that are going to change the very person of who you are. And you're going to look at people very differently. It's a major milestone that we all must have. So if that's not you this morning, if you can't look back in your Christian life and see these milestones of, you know, baptism and church attendance and Bible reading and soul winning, those need to be there. Those need to be there. What about the milestone of marriage? I mean, that's a huge milestone. You know, if we got young people in here, teenagers and things, you know, it's probably on their mind quite a bit. You know, and amen for that. You know, marriage is honorable. It's something that we should desire and not fall into this trap of thinking that somehow, you know, we're just more spiritual for not getting married or something. You know, being married is a very important thing that God, it's God's will for the vast majority of us. And it's something that we should seek and desire and use discernment and wisdom as we go about seeking a spouse. But it is a major milestone in the Christian life, no doubt about it. I mean, it brings about significant changes in a person, doesn't it? At least it should. You know, I could tell you about some of the bad habits that I had to get right when I got married, but that would be too embarrassing, so I'm not going to. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, when people get married, they mature as a person in ways they otherwise might not. You know, married people tend to be a little bit more conscious of other people, you know, and how their actions and attitudes kind of affect others. You know, that's just something I've observed, and maybe you have as well. They learn to be a little bit more less selfish as people. I mean, now you're married to this person, you have to spend the rest of your life with them, you have to learn to get along with others and play nice, right? So marriage is a very important milestone in the Christian life that should be sought out. What's another major milestone in the Christian life? And I guess this isn't a comprehensive list. I'm just trying to make a point tonight, or this morning, excuse me, that there are milestones in our Christian life that we have to have that are going to help us grow, and that we can't just measure our spiritual growth by the fact that we watch YouTube or what, you know, just the silly things that people think make them some great spiritual giant in the faith. You know, these milestones are what matter. These are the things, this is the measure of Christian growth. Whether you've added these things, applied these things to your lives. And again, not a comprehensive list. We could add many other things to it. You know, about dress standards and entertainment and things like that. But what about the milestone of child rearing? You know, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby in the baby carriage as it goes, right? So that's another major milestone. You'll never forget when the firstborn comes. And the second, by the time you get to the third or fourth, it's kind of old hat. I'm just kidding. But, you know, the major milestone of child rearing, that's a big event in a person's life. And really, it's a make or break kind of thing. You know, the way your children turn out will make you or break you. It'll make you break you if you're a man considering the ministry. You know, that's a major requirement that you have your children in subjection. And if you don't, that's going to break your ministry. So that's a major milestone that you have to get right. You know, break you there, but it also break your heart if your children turn out bad. It's something that we have to take very seriously. When our children are born, that's a major milestone in our Christian life. The results of our child rearing will make us or break us in many different respects. The Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left unto himself bringeth his mother to shame. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. It doesn't say he has less joy. It says he has none. You know, I could think of a lot of terrible things that could take place in my life that would break my heart, but to think that my children would turn out to hate God. And I've seen this in other Christians' lives, where their older children have turned into complete reprobates even. And their hearts are broken. But really, at the end, and the hardest thing probably about that, the hardest pill to swallow is the fact that you're to blame. It's the parent that has to bear the responsibility for that. So that's another major milestone in a Christian life. What about the milestone of persecution? The first time you go through persecution. Now, this is something this church is familiar with, isn't it? And if you recall, we're coming up on that three-year anniversary of Father's Day when the old building down the road here was surrounded by all those protesters. You know, I mean, if you're new here, this is probably not something you're familiar with, but you've been around and you've been paying attention or familiar with the story that Pastor Jimenez preached that right biblical and correct sermon about the Sodomites, and they all got up in a frenzy and they decided to come out here and protest. You know, that was a major milestone for this church. And I'll say this, that was a major milestone in my life. And I'm not even a member of this church. I mean, I remember that kind of coincided very nicely. We were down, and our church was putting on a soul winning marathon down in somewhere in L.A. area. And the protest was going to happen the next day. And we said, well, who wants to get in the church van and drive? I think it was like 12 hours or however far it is, 9, 10 hours up to Verity and be there for the morning service and help show our support. And we said, let's do it. And I think about 15 or so of us crammed in that van, bunch of guys, and made that long drive, and we came up here. And it was a milestone moment in my life to pull up here and to see that crowd gather around your folks' building and to walk across that picket line. I mean, that was an intense experience. That's something I'll never forget. But, you know, more than the crowd that was out there, more than the people that were protesting and all up in arms about the Bible being preached, more of the milestone was what I heard inside in the house of God. The milestone was the crowd inside that really made the impression. It was the people that still came out and were not afraid of the protesters and came to church and showed their support for their pastor and stood with him. That was a major milestone in my life, and I'm sure in many of yours as well. You know, a major milestone was the sermon that I heard that day. You know, quit ye like men. That sermon stuck with me for a long time. I still go back and listen to that. That was a milestone sermon in my life. And, you know, that had never come if I had just said, you know what, that's one milestone I don't want anything to do with. Protest? No thanks. I think I'll just go back to Phoenix and just watch it from afar. Now, granted, I just blew into town and walked through a picket line twice and went home. You know, you folks had to stay here and do everything else that took place. But, you know, had I just wimped out on that and said, I'm not interested in doing that, you know, it's a long drive. It's 12 hours back to Phoenix. You know, I got to get back to work. You know, I wouldn't have had that experience. And I've listened to that sermon online, but let me tell you, there was nothing like being here for it. That was an event that I wouldn't want to have missed, and that was great. But persecution is something that's going to come us all. Maybe it's not going to come in the form of protesters. Maybe it's going to come in the form of, you know, the news media picking up some story and trying to bash your church or your pastor or things like that. But it's going to come to us. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live in godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a milestone that's sure to come. If you follow all these other milestones, you get saved, you get baptized, you start going to church, you start reading your Bible, you start going soul winning, you start implementing, you know, your child rearing, and you're getting married, and you have a biblical marriage, and you're doing all these things, you know, some form of persecution is going to come. It might come from the family. You know, why is she in skirts now? What do you mean you're spanking your kids now? You know, what is this about? You're going to church three times a week? What do you mean you don't drink anymore? There's going to be some form of persecution comes. But let me tell you something. That's just a milestone in a Christian life that you can look to and say, I'm doing right. I'm growing as a Christian. This is real biblical growth that's taking place in my life. I'm moving towards the mark. And, you know, the Bible says that persecution is sure to come, but that should never cause us to back down or to go back or to avoid moving forward. You know, the Bible says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. Labor and suffer reproach. We work, we do the work that God has called us to do, and we suffer reproach. You know how many times I've quoted that verse to myself out soul winning. Someone at the door just doesn't like the fact that I wanted to hand them an invite to church. I mean, whoa, can you imagine that? The nerve of that guy to come to my door and invite me to church. What a jerk. And they slam the door and they say something. And you know, it's something I struggled with for a long time. I used to really let that bother me. I used to really let that get to me. I'd get upset, but you know what? I grew out of that, and I said, you know what? They haven't rejected me. They rejected God, and just move on to the next door and let it go. You know, shake the dust off your feet and move on, because we labor and we suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who's the Savior of all men. You know, that person might not get saved, but the next door might. You know, and if I just let this person bother me and say, well, I'm going to take that attitude to the next door. So we need to understand that persecution is something that's going to come, whether it's at a door, whether it's at a family, whatever form it might take, it's going to come to our lives. But it's a milestone that we all must have, and it's one that we have to be able to look to in our lives and say, yes, it's there, and I'm not going to avoid it. You know, and you say, well, I don't know, that sounds kind of tough. And, you know, there's a lot of milestones, and I'm not sure if I'm up to the task of all that, you know, rearing my children and staying in a good church and having biblical roles in my marriage and, you know, enduring the person, going out soul winning and talking to strangers about God. I don't know if I could do that. But it's something that we have to do. We need to stay on this path. We need to have these milestones in our life because we're all drawing closer to that last milestone. There's one last, I mean, the journey ends eventually. You know, we come to the end of this life, and our journey ends. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 25. There is an end to the path. There is one last milestone. And here's the thing. If you don't have these other milestones, you're not going to get this last one. I mean, yeah, you're going to go to heaven. And I'm not saying, you know, we believe in eternal security here. You know, once you believe on Christ, you're eternally secure. It's a gift. You can't lose it. But there's also a reward at the end of that, of our lives. You know, God, not only does he save us by his grace, but then he actually rewards us for doing his works. That's how gracious and loving he really is. But we're not all going to receive that reward. And we know that here from Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the servants and the talents. And of course, we know the story how the master, he went away on a long journey. He gave some talents to another and some talents to another and some talents to another. And some of them went out and made more talents and returned it to him than there was the one who hid it. But those that brought back their talents and said, you know, I've made five, I've made 10 more, I've made five more, he rewards them, doesn't he? Look there in verse 25, 23, it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over kings. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I mean, that's the last milestone. If we can keep all these milestones and say, you know, I've done this, I've been baptized, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm doing the soul winning, I'm growing as a Christian, it's going to come a point where God's going to say, well done. And that's the milestone we all have to keep in mind. And if we could just keep that one milestone, if we could aim towards that mark, if we could press towards that mark, a lot of these other milestones will just fall into place. But not everyone is going to hear those words. If you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Not everyone's going to hear those words. Yes, they're going to go to heaven. Yes, they'll be there for eternity. Yes, they'll have the joy and peace of knowing that they're there in heaven with God and get to behold many wonderful things that we don't even fully understand yet. But they're not going to hear those words. Well done. You know, they might even, God might just say, I had so much more for you. You know, not well done. You know, poorly done. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, I'd rather have both. You know, I'd rather have the well done and enter into the joy of thy Lord. But not everyone's going to hear that. Look at verse 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. God's saying here, like, look, God's going to test your works one day. And there's a lot of things that we're all going to have burn up, but not everybody's going to have things that remain. He said, if any man's work abide, he shall which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Your work has to abide to get the reward. You don't just get the reward. You know, there's no participation trophy in heaven. You actually have to earn that reward of the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Again, not talking about going to heaven. We understand it's a free gift. But not everyone's work is going to abide. They shall suffer loss. You know, and I've heard a preacher years ago talk about this passage, and he used an illustration that stuck with me, and I want to share it with you today. It's the fact that there's going to be people who get to heaven one day, and their works are going to be tried, and they're going to be burned up, and they'll have nothing but ashes. I mean, can you imagine getting to heaven, and you're seeing all the other people around you that you knew here on earth, and they're walking around with the gold and the silver and the precious stones. They have the crowns and everything else that God is rewarding his servants with. They're given rule over cities. You know, they're dwelling in these great big mansions. They're shining gloriously, and all you have is a pile of ashes for all of eternity. I mean, that's all you have. I mean, you've got your white linen that he's clothed you in, you know, the righteousness of the saints, but all you've got really to show for your work here on earth, some ashes. I mean, can you imagine how precious those ashes would become if that's all you had? Try walking around with a pile of ashes in your hand. It was pretty breezy here yesterday. You know, you might probably get a Ziploc for all of eternity. Hopefully they have, you know, something like that in heaven for you to carry your ashes around in. But can you imagine just carrying around like, oh, this is all I got. This is a pile of ashes. Don't sneeze. I don't know if we'll sneeze in heaven, but you know. That's a sad thought. And there's a lot, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are going to be like that. A lot of people with all of eternity, nothing to show. Yes, they're saved. They're saved so as by fire. They're in heaven. That's great. But is that all you want for your life? Just get your ticket punched? Well, I'm on my way to heaven. I got my fire escape. I'm going to heaven. Or do you actually want to earn something along the way? And if you want to earn something along the way, if you want to have more than just a pile of ashes, well, there's going to have to be some milestones in your Christian life. You know, if you're here today, something tells me you're probably already on that path. You're probably already, if you're in a church like this where there's hard preaching taking place, where there's a stand being taken for the Word of God, where the work of God is being done, you know, you're on the right path. And the question is, will you stay on it? If the persecution comes again, will you still remain? Can you look back now and see milestones that you've already passed? You know, don't focus too much on those. I mean, we're glad they're there. And we should always look back and be reminded how far we've come, but the important ones are still ahead of us. Can you see which milestones still lay ahead of you? You know, maybe you're newer here today. Maybe you've just gotten saved. Maybe, you know, there's a baptismal tank right over there. You know, Pastor Menace is going to be back in town real soon. He can baptize you. You can get that milestone checked off. You can move along in that Christian life. Maybe you've been baptized. How's your Bible reading? You know, I know Pastor Menace, I've noticed the plaques out there. That's a great plaque. You know, read the New Testament in the month of January, right? Can you get your name on that plaque next year? Can we be reading today even? There's so many milestones, and I've just touched on a few of them. And the point I'm trying to make is that's how we're going to measure our Christian life, is by the milestones that we can look in our life, not by how many sermons we can regurgitate, or how we can just go put some heretic to shame. And here's the thing to understand is that not everyone, if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 28 before we close, it says, you know, another thing is sometimes some of us that are attaining these milestones, we are moving along, we can get a little impatient with other ones that are they're kind of dragging their feet. And that's understandable, but, you know, we should always be careful how we're going to deal with those people. And we should try to be an encouragement to them and not just chase them off the path. Like, why can't you keep up? You know, you loser. That's not encouraging. That's discouraging, you know. I'm going to say, hey, you're doing great. Keep, you know, if someone's pointed in the right direction, amen. You know, I have the privilege of going down to Tucson, down there in Phoenix. Pastor Anderson has allowed me to oversee a church plant down there. I go down there on Sundays and on Thursdays, and we've got a great group of people down there. We run about 30 to 40 people. And, you know, it's been a real encouragement to me as someone who preaches and just, you know, in general, to see people, when you preach a hard truth from the Word of God, they take it and they change. And that's been more rewarding to me than any viral video that I could ever hope to have. You know, for me to just preach some hard sermon that some news, you know, agency runs and goes with. And I'm sure that's the same, you know, heart that your pastor has here. That it's more rewarding for us as preachers to watch people receive the truths of the Word of God and make changes in their life. That's eternal, you know, substantive stuff. That's stuff that has real meaning and value when people are making changes in their life. So when you see somebody who's a babe in Christ coming in, and yeah, they're a little carnal, maybe they haven't got all the milestones that you have, but maybe we could just be a little bit more of encouragement to them and help them along the way. You know, we've got people down there that maybe they don't look the part in Tucson. And a lot of them, you know, they don't come in all dressed up like we do. But you know what? They're in their Bible. They're there at the soul winning time. They're there three times a week. They're getting baptized. You know, so let's be patient with people and allow them to grow into these things. And understand that not everyone will reach these milestones at the same pace. Some people are going to knock them off. You get there a little quicker. Some people are going to take a little more time because people are different. But they all must be reached. Look there in Isaiah chapter 28. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's the key to Christian growth right there. Here a little, there a little. Not everything at once. Not just the smorgasbord of internet preaching and just, you know, just trying to cram everything down at one time. And trying to get it all down. We need to do it line upon line, precept upon precept, milestone after milestone, here a little, there a little, you know, work on one thing at a time, get it down, implement it in your life, and move on. And they have to be there. Why? Because without these earthly milestones, we'll never hear that last one that we should all want to hear. Well done. We should all want that reward. We should all want to hear our Lord and Savior tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're not going to have that one if you don't have these milestones in your life. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for those that love you and desire to serve you. Thank you for the Bible and the preaching of it. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to continue to grow in Christ, all of us, that none of us has attained, that we all have areas that we could grow in. And Lord, help us all to do that we would be diligent in seeking your face and your word and implementing these things in our lives, that we might be able to hear that that great reward one day of you telling us that we have done a good job in living for you and accomplishing that which you have for us in this life. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.